If you can believe it or not, we are quickly approaching the third anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. And one of the issues, of the many issues of what's gone on in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, has been what's happening with the educational system, with some hoping that perhaps out of the ashes of that catastrophe, that perhaps innovation has come to the New Orleans public schools in a way that might not have had it not been for that disaster. And tracking the innovation happening right now down in that region is Paul Tough, an editor for the New York Times Magazine, who's been following the story very closely, and you have a very in-depth article coming up on Sunday. He's joining us here in the studio. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Let's start with just how disastrous the public school systems were in New Orleans pre-Katrina.
Well, before Katrina, New Orleans had almost the lowest scores in all of Louisiana, and Louisiana was one of the lowest performing school states in the whole country. And kids that I talked to down there said that before the storm, their teachers often just didn't really think they could succeed. The school system was mostly poor, mostly black, and a lot of these kids felt like their teachers had just written them off.
And in fact, the school system was on the verge of being taken over by the state. That's just how bad it was, performing so poorly, even on a national scale. But today, things are very different. There are 65,000 students who were in the system pre-Hurricane Katrina. Now it's somewhere around half. And hundreds of innovators, not only administrators, but teachers and consultants, have all found themselves down there trying to reconstruct a school system. Tell us what they're doing.
Well, there's sort of two things happening at once. One is a structural change. So after the hurricane, the school system was basically wiped out. All the teachers were fired. The kids were scattered all over the country. And in its place is this new kind of school system that, instead of being run like a regular school system from the top down, is run by what is called a portfolio model. So the school system, what the people at the center of the school system say they want to do is just put schools in business and take schools out of business. So as a result, more than half of the kids in the city are being educated through charter schools, and even those schools that aren't charter schools are often run with a much lighter hand than in most places. And then at the same time, there are lots of nonprofits like Teach for America and this new organization called New Schools for New Orleans that are sending lots of ambitious young educators, mostly, down to New Orleans to try to make a difference. And just being down there, there's really kind of an exciting feel. People who have much higher goals than they did in the past.
And not just exciting for those who are involved in all of this change in the system, but for students and their families, some of whom you've met. You want to tell us about Tony?
Tony Petit, yeah. Yeah, this was so I hooked up with two principals from a brand new charter school called Miller McCoy Academy and went with them as they went door to door meeting each one of their incoming students. This was just last month. And Tony Petit was in third grade when Katrina hit, and he went to Denver with his family. And when he got there, he found out that he was way behind all of the other kids. Caught up to a certain degree in a year in Denver, but then when he got to New Orleans, fell behind again. So this year, his parents signed him up for this new charter school. So I went with them as they tried to sell his mom and him on what this new school would be like. He'd have to get there at 7:30 every morning, stay till 6 if he hadn't done his homework the night before, wear a blazer. And it just, for his mom, it had a very different feel. It had, instead of the school being kind of a distant institution, here were the principals actually showing up on her doorstep and promising what they were going to do.
And they had to sign an agreement, right? I mean, that's part of this idea of having everyone in the family committed to this child's success.
Yeah, a lot of charter schools are doing that these days. It's called a family school compact. And in some ways it's sort of symbolic. It's just saying, in order for Tony to succeed, his mom's got to be on board, he's got to be on board, and the principal and his teachers have to commit to trying to get him to college.
This is one of the country's most nagging questions, is in urban, poor school districts, how to narrow that gap between the small percentage of kids who tend to do really, really well and those who don't. And they're looking at it a little differently there in New Orleans. You want to explain?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a huge question all over the country. And what I think has been happening is that there are some really promising examples of schools that are succeeding here and there around the country. But what hasn't happened so far is there hasn't been one school system that has really succeeded in a big way. So the goal of the people running the system and a lot of the reformers who are coming down there is to use New Orleans as kind of a model, as a test case, to show that if you run a school system differently, if you pour certain types of resources into it, you can make a big change in the scores and in the results of poor kids fairly quickly.
And in the case of Tony Petit, describe the promise that the school and the principals have made to him.
Well, they said they'd get him to college, which I don't think there were a lot of people promising beforehand.
And this is part of the notion of expectation, right? And when you're talking about the decentralization of it, essentially what they're suggesting is that you create a system where you have a lot of charter schools, so it is a public-private partnership, right? And that the survival of the fittest, in a sense, those schools that do well with those lowest-performing students survive, and those who don't go away.
Right. The principals who are starting this new school were from Memphis, and they had both run really successful public schools there. But they were attracted by the idea of being held accountable, of running their own school where if they could make it, they would succeed. If they didn't, they'd lose their charter and be out of work.
So you describe it as a very exciting time there.
I think so. Yeah, it's promising.
Paul Tough, talking about a promising New Orleans public school system. Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul Tough is an editor at the New York Times Magazine, and he's also the author of a book coming out next week, Whatever It Takes, Jeffrey Canada's Quest to Change Harlem and America, another innovative educator. You can check out Paul's article this weekend in the New York Times Magazine.
Yeah, it's a good piece. I'm Catherine Lanfer, in for John Hockenberry, and we're always on at The Takeaway, Facebook, Friend Feed, Twitter. If you missed anything on our show, it's all on thetakeaway.org. Now, tell us what you think about any of these issues at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. With the major changes underway in the New Orleans school system, we wanted to know what you would do to make your own school better.
Hi, I'm Dave calling from New York City. I think the thing that I would change most in the educational system here is the students prevent the poorly behaved, uninterested, and moronic students from attending school and spoiling the experience for those who really are interested in learning.
Well, there's an opinion for you. We've been talking about the Olympics, of course, all week. Matthew Scallon writes on our website of softball, he says, since the games will be played in Chicago, and it will be played in Chicago, make no mistake about it, it's only right, fitting, and proper that the Olympics highlight a sport which was invented in Chicago. And that's, of course, on the notion that there will be no women's softball in 2012. Here's our takeaway today.
Managing that diversity is probably going to be the biggest challenge of the 21st century in America.
2042, minorities will become majorities. I'm Ajori Doji. It's The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information at knightfoundation.org. And by the Rockefeller Foundation and its Campaign for American Workers. More at rockfound.org. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.